Christian under construction, and how that we as believers need to use the Word of God, which is our blueprint, to help us be constructed in a way that pleases God. We have looked at the importance of using what we call hermeneutics, the study of how to study the Word of God, as to how we are able to take and use the context and use the particular language and all the other details that go along with Bible study to come up with a understanding of what God is saying to us, the importance of taking what God has said to us and apply it to our lives. Well, this morning we'd like to go into one of the areas that I guess would probably be one of the areas that we as Christians tend to have the most difficulties. As a matter of fact, James put it this way, that if we could control this area of our life, then we could really show what true religion is all about. That if we can control this one little part of our life, we could have success in a lot of areas of our life. And that if this part of our body is not controlled, it can be like a fire that can start and devour. It can be as powerful as a rudder for a ship, and it can be as powerful as one of those bits that it might be in the mouth of a horse. Talking about the tongue. And how that we might use it for His glory. And how that many times it gets us into trouble. I've often thought that if I could just stop talking, I would stop getting in trouble. Anyone else find that same thing? If they could just stop talking. Well, today we're going to talk about the importance of being able to be honest in our conversations as we look at the various things that describe what we call rules for communication. The primary rule is we just got to be honest. Before we get into that, I'd like us to pray one more time, ask for God's blessing upon our time together. Father, I ask that You will use me to be able to speak the truth in love. Help me, Lord, to be able to take Your Word and to that I might be the instrument, that my person, that my words and my being may not get in the way, but instead that Your Word might go out in such a way that challenges lives. Father, I pray that each one is here today, have placed their faith in Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and has a personal relationship with You, and know what genuine truth is. But Father, if there would be anyone here today that has not made that step of accepting that sacrificial gift of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might do that, or they need that truth in their life before they can work on the rest of this truth. Father, I pray that You will help this Word to be an encouragement to us. Help us to find things that will help us to be obedient to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 4, as we looked at last time we were together, talks about the importance of renewing our mind, removing those things that need to be removed and replacing them with those things that need to be replaced. And as we move down in the text, right after he talks about this importance of changing our lives by putting off and putting on, he starts talking about practical elements of our life, things that need to change in your life. In verse 25 it says, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." Here we have the encouragement that the element of put off is shown in the putting away. He's not saying that you just have to start telling the truth. You need to make sure you start eliminating that which is false. Our society today is permeated with falsehoods. This is an election year. And you've got two candidates that are they're clearly pointing out the falsehoods of the other. And in a sense, we see that also in academics, that there's a concern about those who might be cheating in academics, whether they're actually doing their work or copying somebody else. And the whole concept of integrity is in question in our society. And God is telling us that we need to put away lying, to remove that from our life. Now, bear in mind, remember who we're talking about here in Ephesians. We took the time to establish that a couple weeks ago, that the book of Ephesians is written to Christians, and that the individuals who need to be listening to this and the ones who need to put this off may very well be those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. that there can be dishonesty in our lives as believers, that as soon as we place our faith in Christ, certainly we do become a new creation. We become a new creature. We have a new opportunity to serve God, but we may have some habits that we may need to change. We may have some things that need to be different in our life. And Paul recognizes that in the lives of the people of Ephesus, as well as all Christians, that there needs to be that activity of, if I'm going to put off a particular habit, one of those habits may be that of lying and not being truthful. So we're challenged here that the put off is that of lying. But as we mentioned last time we were together, that God doesn't tell us just to remove something from our life. He tells us to replace it with something. And in this case, he says, But let each one of you speak truth. That would be the put-on element. That as we desire to be honest people, that it's not enough just not to lie, we also have to speak the truth. And that will come into play in the next point that we look at as in our outline to see why that is significant. For some of you might be like, well, that's obvious. But maybe you haven't looked at it from this perspective. One of the things that we need to look at, first of all, is that word speak. So the first point in our outline is speak. There are three things under speak that I think are important for us if we want to be ones who use our lives and our tongues honestly. And that first is that element of recognizing that this idea of replacement. That God does say, put away lying. But then he says, but let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. That it's not enough to just stop lying. We have to have an initiative, a responsibility of replacing. If we have a habit of not telling the truth, we have to have the habit of starting to tell the truth. Someone has asked the question, when is someone who has been known as a liar stop being a liar? When they stop lying? No, they just might be a liar in remission. They only become a truth teller when they start telling the truth, when they have established a habit of telling the truth, of communicating truthfully. Because that habit has not been changed, it's just been maybe put in remission. Maybe the deceit in life is still going on, but it's not being brought out in the form of actual words. So that word let reminds us of that replacement element, that you may put away lying, but let each one of you speak the truth. We must recognize that speaking is a responsibility that we have. The second point is responsibility. Let each one of you. Now, what is that entailing? Now, it may be from the perspective that some of us don't have a problem with lying. Some of us have a very sensitive thought towards integrity, and we could not bring ourselves to tell a falsehood. But if you look at the meaning of this phrase, it's talking about the importance of speaking the truth, of being willing to offer the truth. There are times when maybe we are not willing to tell a falsehood, but there might be times when we're willing to hide a truth. We're not willing to say that which needs to be said. One of the areas that I've found that this has been most applicable in realms of counseling that I've done is that not so much have spouses been purposefully trying to lie with one another, to lie against each other, but sometimes there's that element of just not being honest, of sharing what is actually going on in one's heart and mind, and we're not communicating what needs to be communicated and what takes place. And we'll talk about this in a next message about how that when something comes up and we have a conflict with it, and we know that we want to deal with that with the other individual, but we choose not to speak truthfully with them. Had this happen in my life one time. Maybe you can relate to this. I was associate pastor several years ago, and while working with this pastor, we had a conflict, only he didn't know about it. It was one of these situations where I really desired for him to take time to go and visit one of the individuals in the hospital that I was concerned about. I was working with the teens, and there was this teen's mother that was in the hospital, and I'd asked him, can we go do that? And we did a lot of calling that day, and nothing was brought up about the one I wanted to visit with, and we just called it a day and went on, and nothing was done. And I clammed up on the issue, even though it was bothering me quite a bit. And I was concerned about how am I going to take care of that. And the more I thought about it, the more I became upset with my pastor because I thought he didn't care. And the more that that went on, the more difficulty I had. And it went from having an untruthfulness of not saying what I should have said to getting even worse, to where my countenance started showing what was going on in my heart. The face is a very important tool, and sometimes our face can show what's going on in our heart. Joseph commented on that when he was talking with the prisoners. He said, what's wrong with your face? Something's bothering you. Same thing about Nehemiah when he was burdened about the walls. What's wrong with the face? My pastor could tell something was in my face, and he asked me, have I done anything to offend you? Now that is an open door to walk through and be honest, isn't it? Guess what I said? No, I'm just tired. I chickened out and I lied. God used that to convict my heart, and it wasn't too long after that eventually I realized, what am I doing? I am not taking on my responsibility of talking about this thing. God has told me in His Scriptures that if someone has done something that has offended me, and Matthew 18 tells me that my responsibility is to go to them and to clarify that and to work it out. I do not have the opportunity to just sit and stew and be upset about it. I don't have the opportunity to go and talk with someone else about it. I have the responsibility to go and make it right with the other. I'm speaking with those individuals. That word is not only just a replacement, it is a responsibility that each of us need to realize that whether we're the one who is offended or we're the ones who have offended, Matthew 5 says when we realize that we've offended somebody, our job is to go to them and work it out. Matthew 18 tells us if we're the ones that are offended, it says you go to your individual who's offended you and you work it out. Folks, there are times when we hold things against other individuals and they have no clue what the problem is. I went for years one time not knowing what was going on, and one time we had some type of a reunion, came back to a church that I'd been at before and was talking with some individuals, and out of the blue they finally just asked me this question blank, why did you think such and such? And I thought, I don't know what you're talking about. But why did you do such and such? And I said, well, I didn't do such and such. And it was a very interesting situation because all that time I had no clue what they were thinking about me for years. And finally, after years of the truth not being spoken, the truth was spoken and I had the opportunity to tell the truth myself and say, that isn't the way it went. It was something totally different. It was totally opposite, as a matter of fact, of what took place. There couldn't be anything further from the truth in that particular situation. And so I think what God is telling us here is our responsibility to tell the truth is there because of the relationship we have, because of the members. He says, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Why do we need to speak? Because we're members of one another. We're of the body together. We react each other with each other. Some of you have been keeping up with my project on putting the siding on my garage. Well, for those of you who have been praying for me that I may not ruin it or anything, we got it done. And now I'm working on a stack that goes around our chimney. Okay. Well, yesterday I was working on that and we switched from using longer nails to shorter nails. And in that process, for some reason, I didn't pay attention to what I was doing, and the nail no longer became what I was hitting, and my thumbnail was what I was pounding on. And you know, it was a good thing. It was a good thing that my thumb communicated with the rest of my body that you got the wrong nail. Because if it had not, after the first hit, second hit, third hit, I would have a really, really sore thumbnail right now. But you know what? My body did a wonderful job of letting me know what was going on. As soon as that hammer hit the first time, the thumb was more than willing to tell the rest of the body, stop! You got it all wrong! You're going to kill us! Quit! And of course, it had to tell the legs to get up and dance around. I don't know why that helps, but it sure does. And to move and to all this type of stuff. But anyway, it was quite a traumatic experience, but I think I'm almost over it. But it's just an example of how our body communicates. And if our body doesn't communicate, then we fail to protect the body. And that's what happens in the body of Christ when we do not recognize the relationship we have. If in our own homes, we do not communicate with each other, if we do not take the initiative to speak about things that are of concern, we find ourselves not using that opportunity that God has given to us, that responsibility, and we are shortchanging the members. And we are keeping them from being able to respond properly and for them to do what God expects of them. And it's so important for us to recognize, whether it's in our home, workplace, or in our church, God expects us to speak, to communicate, not to clam up, not to just let it go. We have an obligation to speak. And sometimes we let that obligation go. Sometimes we fail to be honest because we fail to speak. And may God challenge us that whether it's in this situation where we're wanting to work through how we can serve God or working through conflicts, or even if it be in the evangelistic situation where we have the truth to tell other people and we fail to speak, let us be challenged that it's a replacement of telling the lies, it's a responsibility we have, and it's part of our relationship. Second part of our outline is this: speak truth. Speak truth. Why should we speak truth? There's three different reasons why we want to speak truth. First, because of who God is. God is truth. Some important verses out of Scripture, and you can find more than this. Psalm 31:5. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. 1 Thessalonians 1:9. And how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. A challenge to the people of Thessalonica who had been following these false gods, that there's only one true God. And thirdly, indeed, let God be true and every man a liar, out of Romans chapter 3. The very essence of God is truth. So why should I tell the truth? Should I tell the truth because honesty is the best policy? Well, for some people, it's not the best policy. If you're honest, you get in trouble. That doesn't sound like good policy. You tell the truth because of the very character of God. And that when we're encouraging people to be truth tellers, we don't necessarily tell them that telling the truth is good because it will always come out best for you. Sometimes you pay a penalty for telling the truth. Sometimes it costs to tell the truth. And if we just have this pragmatic idea that if you just do the honest thing and it'll always work out well, there'll only take one time of you telling the truth and having a backlash on you, and you'll say, well, that's the last time I'm going to tell the truth. That's the last time I'm going to speak truth. That's the last time I'm going to speak up. That's the last time I'm going to get involved with something. I am just going to fade out because I have learned that telling the truth doesn't always feel good. Telling the truth isn't always good for me. That's why you need something higher than that. Remember we were talking about renewing the mind? Renewing the mind is that I want to be a truth teller because, not because it's necessarily better for me, although I believe in the majority of cases it is, in the long run it is because you're pleasing God, but I want to be a truth teller because it emulates the very character of God. God is true. And falsehood and lie is contrary to God. And when I seek to have falsehood in my life, or that which is not true, I am decidedly saying, I'm a believer, I am a Christian, I'm a follower of God, but I don't want to be like God. I want to be dishonest. I want to lie. I want to be untruthful. Well, those two can't go together. We as believers cannot do that. I can understand where the world would accept dishonesty, a lack of integrity. I can understand where the world would take falsehoods and use them to their advantage. But there's never a time when we as believers should justify that because it goes contrary to God's very character. God expects us to tell the truth because He is truth. And then when we cease telling the truth, then we have failed to emulate or copy that very character of who He is. So for the first reason that we want to speak truth is that we want to be like God and we don't want to go contrary to His character. What is contrary to His character, or who is contrary to His character? Satan is. The Bible tells us Satan is the father of lies. Satan is a liar. And if Satan is the liar and the father is the truth, gives us our choice, doesn't it? Who do we want to be like? Do we want to be like God, who has created us, or do we want to be like Satan, who seeks to destroy us? Lying, although it may seem like it might have its advantages because it may keep us out of trouble or it might keep things from going a certain direction, is not right, because God has given us the standard, and that standard is truth, because that standard matches up with His very character of who He is. We should not justify dishonesty because God is true. Second of all is not only who God is, but what you are. It says in Colossians 3:9, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. Apostle Paul, in a passage that we would call the sister passage to Ephesians chapters 4, 5, and 6, he has talked to the people of Colossae and told them, don't be lying to one another, because you put off that old lifestyle. You have changed. You're part of this new life. You have chosen Jesus Christ, and as a result, you have a new opportunity. Do you realize that? When you have placed your faith in Christ, you now have an opportunity to live a true life. That you can get out of the masquerades and get out of all the things that are behind the masks and hidden and dark, and be able to live a life of integrity and truth. Isn't that exciting to realize? God has, over and again, is Scripture contrasted darkness with light. Darkness being conveyed with evil and deceit, and light with truth and good. And that God has made it possible that we can be children of light, therefore children of truth. And we can have an opportunity to tell the truth. Now we can have a clear conscience with that. And Paul is again reminding them, don't get into lying with one another. Don't get into this deceitfulness. Don't be putting on airs. Don't be putting on masks. We put off those old things. Those things go with the old self. Dishonesty is a part of the old life. Welcome to the new life. It's called honesty. So not only in relationship to who God is, but in relationship to what we are. If we placed our faith in Jesus Christ, we've accepted the truth of His gospel, we should desire to speak the truth as well. And thirdly, what you want to be. Earlier on in this passage, if you're still in Ephesians chapter 4, and look back at verse 15, he's talking about the context of what it's like to become mature believers. And I'll read a little bit of around the text that we show on the slides here. For the equipping of the saints, verse 12, chapter 4, of the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we shall no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. There's the contrast. That which will cause us to stumble, that which will cause us to be pushed to and fro, is the deceitfulness. God is contrasting. His Word is true. Those who combat His Word are false. And he says, then in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, Christ. What is speaking the truth? Speaking the truth is equivalent with growing up. Speaking the truth is equivalent with being honest. You know what's interesting? Usually when children start out being as blunt as they can be, you know? You know, they'll say some things, our kids will say some things, and we'll say, what did you say that for? You know? Well, because they were thinking it. They haven't learned how to be dishonest. Or what we call discretion. They haven't learned to not say what they're thinking. And, you know, it's interesting. We took look at maturity as being that ability to learn how to craft what we say so it is more socially acceptable and things like that. But, you know, quite frankly, maturity is that ability to change our hearts so that we don't have a whole lot of things to hide. We change our heart towards other people so we don't have to craft everything we say about them. We deal with things with them personally in a loving fashion so we don't have hidden agendas with them, so that we can be more transparent and people can know who the real person is. And so it shouldn't be the child that's so transparent, although we're thankful for that at times, even though it is embarrassing that they are willing to let you know what they are all about. But we give them this wrong idea that the older you get and the more mature you get is the less you be who you really are. That you learn how to hide that and you learn how to be different. But God is calling us to maturity where we're able to have honesty, and that maturity, as we are able to be open and honest with one another, we are able then to communicate and edify and build the body as God has designed. God doesn't call us just to dwell with one another and try to get along with each other and just try to put up with one another. God wants us to know each other, to love each other, to be able to talk about things that are critical to the growing body, that people can feel comfortable, that the people you're worshiping with are people who are your friends, not just someone who shows up in a green chair not too far from you. That you genuinely have an opportunity to speak about things that are deeper in our relationship with Christ, our struggles, our triumphs, and all these various things. That's maturity. That's the ability to be able to combat Satan's deceits that come in and tear a church apart. A church that speaks the truth lovingly cannot be torn apart in wicked business meetings, as happens in some churches, will not be undertowed by gossip, because they have learned the importance of maturity, of being able to speak the truth. What we want to be, we want to be mature. If we want to be mature, then we want to be honest. We want to be willing to speak truth. And that comes in a lot of different packages. We need to be careful about not leaving truth out, staying part of the truth. Do we encourage honesty, not from just a loophole perspective? You played that game before with your kids? You play the loophole thing? They tell you the truth to the question you asked, instead of telling you the truth to the question you want to know and what you want to know. And playing the game of, yes, I told the truth. Do we do that at work? Where our boss will ask us, did such and such get done? And we're able to craft it where we didn't actually lie, but we didn't actually let the boss know what the boss really needed to know. Because we were able to, by integrity's sake, not lie, but we know what they really wanted to know, but what he doesn't know won't hurt him, so we won't tell him. And that kind of a thing, that's integrity. That's talking about the importance of speaking truth. Truth is being able to communicate that which is necessary for the hearer to help that individual accomplish what they need to do. Third point, speak truth lovingly. Speak truth lovingly. This borrows back from Ephesians 4:15, where it talks about that element of maturity is not just speaking the truth. It's speaking the truth with a condition. It's with love. There are some people out there, you might be one of them, that you love to speak the truth. You find someone needs to hear the truth, you're ready to let them hear the truth. You just, I got to be honest, so I'll let them know. And all ready to let them have what they need to know. Well, let's look at three points underneath this one as well to help us to really speak the truth lovingly. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. Emphasis here is learning discretion, as we've talked about, and learning how to in a sense, hold them back until we have a chance to use them properly. The Bible also says, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. The importance of being willing to think through what we're going to say. And I think being wise and thinking about how I am going to talk with this person is a loving fashion. That to speak lovingly would cause me not just to say the first thing that comes to my mind when they do something wrong. When I want to be give them this, what we call that? Constructive criticism. It's always constructive when it comes to from us, and it's usually destructive when it comes to us, right? But the constructive criticism that we want to give to other individuals, have we thought through how it's going to sound when we say it? And that's where this next point comes in. Very easy thing to do. Change places. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, it says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. We have heard it stated this way, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And the challenge when we think about speaking the truth with other individuals, what we need to do is sit down and think, what would I like to hear and how would I like to hear it? Now, one thing is that if we really think through it, many of us would not want someone to secretly hold a grudge against us. So most of us would want someone to tell us that. And I think that's a fair thing for us to keep in mind when we think about us going to talk with another person, that the loving thing would be is if we trust ourselves that if someone had something to say to us, we should trust them as well to be able to go and talk with them. So that's one of the points that come from that. But the other thing would be is, how do I want to hear something? Do I want to hear it in a certain tone? Would I like to hear it in a certain setting? Would I like to hear it in a certain context? And it doesn't hurt to sit down and think before I'm ready to speak the truth to someone else. It's just to think about how would it affect me if someone came at me at the same way I'm planning to go at the other person. And just thinking about this as being a loving fashion, when God says we should speak the truth in love, one of the greatest ways of showing love is to treat others in the way that we would want to be treated. And thinking about how we can change places with that other individual. And recognizing that our goal in speaking the truth is actually the betterment of the other individual. Sometimes we don't speak the truth until we have just gotten to the end of our rope. We have got that individual has done something so many times that we have just got, I just can't handle any longer. I am going to get this off my chest, and I don't care what happens. I can't handle any longer. They got to hear this for me. You see, that's not speaking the truth in love. That's venting. That's getting something off your chest. And usually when one vents, they don't usually vent in the context of, I wonder what would be best for that other person. Usually the idea is, I don't care what's best for that other person. That other person has gone, I've drawn a line, they stepped over it. I've drawn a line, they stepped over it. They have brought this on themselves. So it's my job now to give it to them. God has put me in this place to let them have that truth because they deserve it. Instead of having the attitude of, what would I want? Would I want someone to love me enough to not allow me to continue to go down the wrong path? Would I want someone who sees me going in the wrong direction, pull me aside and say, Scott, don't do it that way. Am I anticipating that type of thing for my friends? That's the type of attitude I should want to bring into a speaking the truth lovingly situation. And then finally, just the element where God again encourages, let your speech always... Now this is a challenge. Let your speech always. I was just wanting to be like on a high percentage. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. That we might recognize that what we say and how we say it does matter. Some of you have heard my testimony before that when I was a young adult, I didn't care about how I used and choose words. I would just say whatever I thought because I didn't think anybody really cared about what I had to say. I grew up as a mumbler. I grew up with one that didn't enunciate my words. I grew up with one with the little, trailing off phrases. And so as a result, I didn't think anybody really cared what I had to say until I found out for truth, someone was willing to speak the truth in love to me and say, Scott, you've done this over and again. You've used your mouth to hurt people. And that crushed me. It crushed me to realize that my lack of self-control, my unwillingness to season my speech, my unwillingness to have grace in my words was hurting other individuals. And you know, it's critical for us to recognize that. I don't care how insignificant you may think you are. Okay? I just lay it out that way because I was there. I don't care how insignificant you think your words are, they still have an impact in other people's lives. Parents, your words have an impact in your children's lives. The words that you choose, the way you say them, they have an impact. Children, whether you believe it or not, the words you use towards your parents have an impact on them. You have words that can encourage, you can have words that can hurt. And how sad it would be to learn that you can hurt someone with your words and choose to do it. God has given us our tongues to glorify Him. And when we find out what those buttons are to hurt another person, and we choose to use them for that reason, we are under condemnation of God. God does not take that lightly. He has given you that tongue for the purpose to praise Him, not to cut down other individuals. And so we must have tongues of grace, seasoned with salt. And we'll look at in some subsequent weeks, when we talk about dealing with anger, we'll talk about how that our goal with our tongues is to build other people up, not to tear them down. Be willing to use them to build up. Speak the truth lovingly. As we summarize these three, I've chosen three words that might help us. Under the word speak, initiative. Be willing to take the initiative. Be willing to one who to step out and say what needs to be said. It's been such an encouragement to me when you folks have done that for me. You've just lovingly confronted me and said, Pastor, I don't know if you realize this, but this is going on or what's going on with that. And you have modeled that well, and I appreciate that, and I encourage you to continue to do that, and I trust that I do the same thing for you, to initiate speaking. Truth involves integrity, that we may have the best desire to emulate God and that our integrity is in place. And the third is investing. To speak the truth lovingly means that one of my motivations for speaking the truth is I want to invest in the lives of other individuals. I'm concerned about them. My lovingliness is not just a fashion, it is a foundation for speaking truth to someone else. I want to speak the truth to them because I love them. When I pull my children aside and go through some of those difficult talks that don't always go in the direction that I want them to go through and might end up in tears and all that type of stuff, my motivation is I love them so much that I don't want them to go through the things that apparently they will go through if they continue down the path they're going through. That becomes our desire to have an investment in other people. Speak truth lovingly. One of the first rules for good communication. Folks, I hope that you'll take that rule and utilize it in your homes. Utilize it in the workplace. Utilize it in our church. Father, I pray that you will help me to be a truth speaker.
Lord, help me to have the initiative to reach out to those who I need to share. Lord, the individuals in my neighborhood that need to hear the truth about your gospel. Father, help me to show the initiative in that area. Father, I pray for others that might be also recognizing areas that they need to show initiative, that they might make a commitment this week to show initiative. Maybe it deals with working out a problem with someone they've been trying to sweep things under the carpet. Father, I pray that whatever the situation might be, that they'll speak the truth lovingly. Father, I pray that you will help us as a church to be built on your truth. Help us, Lord, to be built on communication. Help us, Lord, to desire to be a mature church, one that lovingly speaks your truth and one that obeys your truth. Thank you again for this privilege of gathering together today. And we ask that you might be glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.